Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh my god, la la la, let me
welcome to another Agony Aunt episode of It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You with me, La La La. Let me explain, the world's favourite Agony Aunt. I don't know if I actually am, but I believe I am, or maybe not. Apparently, there was an article, you know, in some big magazine about a month or two ago that someone sent me, and it was all about agony aunts and advice columns. And this person sent me the article and was like, I'm really shocked because you're not in there. And I was very shocked myself that I wasn't in there. It was just, I actually felt very left out and very isolated. But the good thing was that not one of the agony aunts that they featured in this agony aunt special in this top magazine, not one of them was qualified. So I think we'll just leave it there. I don't think I need to say anything else. Anyway, let's move on so you can hear a qualified person answer questions. Although I have to say, I don't think I'm really qualified for the first one, but let's get into it.
Dear Lala, I need to ask advice about a breeding kink. I matched with this guy who kept making comments about wanting to get me pregnant, and my innocent mind at first thought he just meant he wanted to sleep with me. But no, it turns out he has an impregnating fetish. Not understanding the turn on myself, he's explained to me that it's essentially the risk of getting me pregnant that does it for him, but has also said he'd be happy if he did get me pregnant, even though we've never met. I told him I'm not into it and he doesn't push it, but has also since discussed wanting to call me mummy during sex and me call him daddy. Again, something I'm not into, but as he doesn't push his kinks onto me and if they're harmless, I don't have major issues. However, I am scared if they're rooted in some deep issues and the kinks are going to become more extreme. Have I been living under a rock, and are these common kinks or major red flags?
Funnily enough, these are actually fairly common kinks. So common, in fact, that breeding kinks were having a bit of a moment on TikTok recently. There was a trend of hashtag when the breeding kink goes too far, with pictures of pregnant bellies or pregnancy tests alongside them. Though when I say common, I don't mean that everyone's out here doing it. An impregnation fetish or breeding kink isn't about actually getting anyone pregnant. People of all genders, LGBTQI+, can have this kink. So if a man who's sleeping with a man has got a breeding kink, it's obviously not about the getting someone pregnant thing. Though for him, he has said that the thrill is in the risk of getting you pregnant. And I guess that is tied in with it being a sign of masculinity and strength. And if I get you pregnant, I'll own you. You know, it's power and control and the thrill of physically implanting something inside you. For women or people whose fetish it is to be impregnated, it's also not about raising a baby. People can get aroused at the thought of having sperm in them. It's a very submissive act, very primal. So it is a very normal risk that isn't actually always associated with actually getting anyone pregnant, and very often isn't. But there is also something to be said for this not being a kink, or this being a kink rooted in an actual desire to control a woman by forcing pregnancy on her. Forced pregnancy, or intentionally impregnating a female partner, is a deep and commonly used control tactic. So it's really important to be clear on the ways in which this could be used to impact on your life. The daddy-mummy thing isn't necessarily related to incest or paedophilia. It is more likely related to power play, dominance and submission, role play of gender roles in bed. the getting you pregnant fantasy. It's not necessarily to do with the fact that he wants to have any mummy or daddy interaction in the bedroom. Although, this is what I always say, is that even though this doesn't necessarily reflect incest, people who are into incest are probably also going to want to engage in those kind of kinks and fetishes. So it's not always a sign, but it may well be. But his kinks are his kinks. And if it's two consenting adults agreeing to do something that harms nobody, then they can do whatever floats their boat. My concerns are this. What are you looking for? Because if it's not just about sex, then I think that you need to move on. Because you haven't even met yet, and he's talking to you about common but extreme kinks. He's clearly all about shagging. If you're into building relationships, then you don't need to talk about your fetishes when you haven't even met the person yet. So it sounds to me like he is all about the one thing. If he's also about a relationship too, then there's a reason that he's telling you all of this and testing the waters before you've even met. If he's just not all about sex and he is into relationship, then this sounds like he's telling you this because this is what he likes and he wants a partner who will join in. You know, you'd said that you weren't into it, and then he raises more stuff about the mummy and daddy thing. So I think that there's something not good about that. You know, you said something in the letter about as long as he doesn't push his kinks onto me, but it feels like he's not physically pushing them onto you right now, but it feels like he's pushing them onto you in some way, the fact that these are being brought up so early. And they may well be rooted in childhood or deep-rooted things behind the kinks that he has. You can be mentally healthy and still have kinks. Having kinks that are rooted in childhood or not don't mean that you are a fucked up person by default. Your concern should be more around whether you're actually up for participating in these kinks eventually, because that is what this man wants. And I don't think you want to. And I think if you did participate, you would be compromising yourself to get a man. And that is obviously highly not recommended. For a person who was cool with this kink or equally as aroused by it, then there are no red flags here. But for you, who is dating and isn't into this stuff, it is a red flag because this man is raising it so early on with you and still raising it despite your reluctance. So make whatever choice you're going to make. But if you do end up sleeping with him, get on some contraception ASAP. Don't fuck about with this one.
Hi Lala, I was with my daughter's dad for 6 years. We split up in 2022 and our divorce was finalised in 2023. At the end of last year, he assaulted me in front of our daughter. Prior to that, he frequently messaged me, expressing suspicions and making unwelcome visits to check on me while our daughter was in my care. The police arrested him on charges of non-fatal strangulation and stalking, though the assault case was dropped due to lack of evidence. I'm still awaiting the outcome of the stalking charges. Throughout a relationship, both together and separated, there was a pervasive atmosphere of control, financial abuse, belittlement, and gaslighting. Recognising the need for support, I'm starting therapy next week with a psychotherapist. I constantly chase validation and attention from men, but as soon as I get it, I'm bored, break up with them, and back on the dating sites ready for my next fix. Am I a fuck girl?
We went from your abusive ex and the awful ways in which the police have let you down to, am I a fuck girl? I actually had to double check whether it was two letters that had been accidentally merged together. But even though it reads like that, like two complete separate different issues, I have no doubt that the two things are probably very connected. Your fuck girl behaviour, or what you think could possibly be fuck girl behaviour, might well be linked to your past. Though that's not me saying that you are a fuck girl. The thing about being a fuck person, and you should read my book, because my book goes into the fuck boy categories and all about what it means to be a fuck boy, fuck girl, or fuck person. And the thing about being a fuck person is that it is intentional. They know what they're doing, they hurt people, and they don't care. They put their own needs first, always. Are you being intentionally hurtful, or are you playing out symptoms of your trauma? I don't think you're a fuck girl unless you're doing it intentionally, unless you don't give a shit that you're hurting these men's feelings. What would make you less of a fuck girl and what might make you feel less of a fuck girl is if you were honest with them. If you said to the next man you meet, listen, I've got an avoidant attachment style, I have a pattern of walking away and I don't want to hurt you, but this is something that I'm working on, then at least he's entering into it with the full knowledge that he can choose to stay if he wants to. But I think maybe my advice to you at the moment is that it might be good to pull back from dating for a bit while you work on healing. You've done a really good thing by signing up to psychotherapy, and I think that that is going to help you a lot because you have been through a lot. And your dating pattern currently, your post-abuse and trauma dating life, is not making you happy. You're using men to fill a neglected part within yourself, and then you're hurting them unintentionally as a result, and then in turn that's making you feel shit about yourself. So none of this is great for any of you. I think the important thing is to know that you don't need a man in your life. You don't need to be dating. You need to look after yourself. And I know that actually there's some debate about that whole thing of like, you need to be healed before you start dating. And I don't believe that. I think that relationships can often heal us. But I think that when you have been through something so traumatizing and that is so kind of fraught, I do think it's really important to just let the dust settle, start getting back into a routine, finding ourselves again. When you've been under the control of somebody else for so long, it can be very difficult to even know who you are. So I do think that post-abuse, it is really good to just have that little break, find yourself again, process things. You don't have to be fully healed, but just in a more calm and less damaged state of mind, I guess. I don't know. I think that the psychotherapy is going to really help a lot with all of this, and so will time, and so will just being honest and open with people. If you don't want to keep repeating this behavior, don't, but find out what is at the heart of that. Psychotherapy will help you and break the cycle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi Lala, I'm a non-binary trans person waiting for top surgery and starting testosterone soon. I met a woman on Tinder. We hit it off and have lots in common. We've gone on dog walks and recently had a night out which she paid for when I went to the bathroom. Since that night, I've been really confused. She sent me lovely messages, flirts and saucy photos, and she said that she's keen to meet up with me. But the last two times that we've planned to meet, she's cancelled the same day. I've said that I'm finding the cancellations hard, and she says that she didn't know if she was hesitant because of the future huge changes I'll be going through in my gender transition, because she really fancies me now, but doesn't know about after the changes. I've explained to her that I'm non-binary and not planning on huge changes. She continued to speak to me sporadically. She keeps suggesting meeting up. She says that she's keen, but when I say, great, let me know when you're available if you're keen, she responds with, yes, I'm keen, again. I've not replied, as the last thing I said was that if she lets me know when she's available, we can arrange to meet. I haven't heard anything back yet from her WhatsApp, but she commented on my Instagram yesterday. I don't know whether she's avoidant or if it's her ADHD, as we're both neurodivergent, or if she's intrigued by my transness but not really into it. I'm confused that her words seem quite nice, but her actions feel like a fuckabout.
Hot and cold mixed messages are the worst. It's like they've got one foot in and one foot out. But if their actions and words are mismatched, it's the actions that you need to focus on. She's being flirty, sending saucy pictures and telling you that she wants to meet up, whilst also cancelling plans, being vague about making future ones, and telling you that she has reservations about how your transition is going to make her feel about you. And while I think it's a good thing that she's communicating her truth on that, I can imagine that it must feel really hurtful. And I do get the sense that she's trying to avoid hurting you. And I wonder if it is maybe that thing which I have done many times before, where I actually like the person, but I'm not into them. And I really do not want to hurt their feelings. So I come up with anything that I can find legitimate reservations about. Like, they'll be 4 years younger than me, and I'll be like, I just think the age gap is way too big. I'm so sorry. And it's nothing to do with the age gap. The truth is that actually, I just don't want to reject them because I know that that will be painful to tell them that I'm just not into you at all. So sometimes it can be like, I'm going to come up with this big excuse, like, oh, it's your transness. It's your potential, your transition in the future. That's what's doing it for me. So, you know, I'm not comparing my made up age gap concerns to her potential worries about your transition. But it may well be that she's just finding reasons, or it may well be that that is a huge reason for her. You told me that she'd had relationships with men and women before, but not trans people, and that she's expressed concerns about your top surgery, and that you've reassured her that it's not really any different to what you do now with binding. She seems completely at ease with your transness, but of course, it could be a really important factor in this. Perhaps she is concerned for what it might mean for her and whether her sexuality is being called into question, or what her family might say if she has a trans partner. As you are well aware, transphobia is rife and sadly a factor that people will consider. I don't have any experience in the nuances that come with trans dating, so I asked my pal, Kenny Ethan Jones, who's a trans activist and author. You can follow on Instagram at Kenny Ethan Jones. And he said, it sounds like this woman really likes this person, but is maybe struggling with what dating this person means for their sexuality. It seems to me that this woman is used to seeing her attraction and sexuality through a binary lens. And when someone starts to make medical changes to their body, it can be hard for the person that is dating them because it can question their perspective on sex and gender, and that can be uncomfortable for them. So rather than talk about it, normally out of fear of upsetting the other person, they avoid it. And Kenny ends by saying that ultimately, I think they need to have a deep conversation about this person's transition, and she needs to decide whether she's okay with that or not. So I guess that she has given you an indication of what is sparking her fears. You've reassured her and she's still pulling back. So my advice to you, to be really sure, to really get that clarity, would be to suggest a couple of actual dates. Because so far, your conversation has been, let me know when you're free. And she's like, will do, and then hasn't let you know. So if you want one last shot at clarity, I would say, are you free on the 12th, 13th, 16th and 17th, or whatever? Give the date and give them in quite close proximity. Because if you say the 12th and then the 31st, she's probably going to go for the 31st and then flake on that one. And if she's not free for any of them and doesn't suggest an alternative, then there's your answer. I would definitely pull back. If she suggests an alternative, then that's great. If she picks one, if she says, yeah, I am available on the 12th, then let's see what happens. If she flakes or she's not free, then you know for sure. If no more cancellations, I think you absolutely have to walk away if that happens again. So I think that will be quite key for you. Don't allow yourself just to be in this never-ending conversation of, are you free soon? Yeah, I'm free soon. It'd be great to see you. Give a date. If it doesn't happen, move on. I'm not even saying block, delete, move on, but move on. Because being the subject of a crush of someone who isn't sure about you is a horrible place to be. And I do think that your gut is giving you some alarm bells, and her actions aren't great, even though her words are so wonderful and she is giving you these senses. But, you know, we really need people who are sure about us. And ultimately, I think that this could end up being a dragged out waste of time. It is not unreasonable for her to be unsure about what your transition might mean for your relationship. But regardless of the reason why someone might be unsure about us, That uncertainty is not what any of us needs. I want someone who is sure about me, and you deserve that too. So good luck. I hope putting the dates out there gives you something to work with. But if it doesn't, there are plenty more fish in the sea. I know half of them are dead and a lot of them are very ugly fish and some of them are actually just complete pieces of shit fish. But there are, and someone is going to love you and be fucking sure about you. So, yeah, move on. Get back swinging in the sea. Maybe you could go swinging in the sea or swimming. I don't know, whatever you feel like doing. So there we go. I will be putting one of these out on my page today for us to have a chat about. So let us know your thoughts. And I'll see you again on Friday for another episode.
La la la, let me explain.
This has been a Sony Music Entertainment production.